We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joined now by former New Orleans Saint, Steve Court. Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, my friend. I'm glad to have you on and spend a little bit of time. It's an appropriate time for you to come on. I talked with Teron Armstead for a while at the top of the last hour and got a little bit of insight from him. But I wanted to kind of ask you a little bit about where you see this group. We just had a caller who's asking about James Hurst. You know, we mentioned Nick Easton in that call. Will Clapp, obviously, Cesar Ruiz. In terms of how this group is going to kind of play out, and I'm one of the things, Steve, it's pretty fascinating. And I don't know how many fans realize or understand that this has changed, but the practice squads have increased to 16. Which is substantial to add, you know, six additional practice squad guys. But what's even more interesting to me is you can now keep up to seven veterans on your practice squad. And then on top of that, you can protect four players from going somewhere, which I find really interesting. But as we talk about this offensive line conversation, and this is a year where strategies of who you're keeping and how you're keeping really are changing. Because of the climate with COVID, and in a position like the offensive line that spends so much time in close contact with each other. If you think of an individual period in an offensive line group, you're constantly right next to each other. You're making contact during the block. And so, you know, it's a room that does lend itself to having something contagious like COVID go through it. And as we talk about numbers in the past, it's always been, you know, who are the seven going to be, you know, who on game day, you know, who are the eight or nine they're going to carry. But that's a conversation this year that's probably a little bit more advanced, just purely based on the number of people that they can keep around.
Well, look, to me, it's good news. You know, I think any time that you're able to keep, you know, quality offensive linemen, and I'm talking about guys that, you know, I was talking to Dan Rauscher when I would go out there and help him coach during the mini camps. And I wasn't fortunate to do that this year because of all this mess. But, look, I told him, I said, you got that problem again. He said, what's that? And I said, you've got about 10 starters. I said, what are you going to do with all of them?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, that's a great problem to have. I said, yeah, it is. I said, but, you know, you're putting starters on the street. And, you know, lo and behold, you'd sure enough would find out that every one of those guys that we had to release started for another football team, NFL football team, that year. Well, both those years. And so this is another great we keep acquiring great offensive line talent. And the more we can have, look, he's done an absolute yeoman's job the past couple of years, you know, patchwork during the weeks when, you know, guys were out. And guys are having to switch positions and move to different positions and fill in here and fill in there. And look, that's a lot easier said than done. I mean, you know, center is a lot different than guard, and guard and center are both a lot different than tackle. You know, tackle, you're in space, and guard and center, you're not. You're in a phone booth. So it's different. It's a different game. And look, anytime that you can now keep a bunch of guys that are capable of being starters. You know, yeah, they're going to be disappointed, but that does a couple of things. First of all, it creates a comfort factor from the standpoint of you've got guys that you can plug and play. And the second part of it is, look, that's going to create some competition, and that's going to just make everybody better. So, hey, kudos to that. I think that's a terrific thing.
Yeah, and you know, the other reality for each of these position groups is that there's always the great unknown of the free agents. And this group is no different. You know, we sit here and we talk, and I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. You talk about the group and, you know, who was brought in, and, you know, you talk about Nick Easton and James Hurst because they're veterans, and, you know, Will Clapp, who's been there for a while, and you talk about him. And then you sit there and you realize, you know, Ethan Greenidge was on the active roster all last season. We don't mention him because he was an undrafted free agent, and he wasn't active for game days. But to keep an undrafted free agent on your active roster for an entire season, even when he's not dressing, says quite a bit about what the team thinks about that young player.
Yeah, no question. And again,
we don't know. And we don't know who knew.
Guys, yeah.
You know, we don't know who this in this year's class is Ethan Greenidge, right? And we've talked about that in other position groups. You know, who's the next Shy Tuttle? Who's the next Deontay Harris? Where are those guys coming from? And in a room like the offensive line room, I mean, you could very easily find yourself at the end of camp saying, we'd like to keep 12 of them. And you wonder if you can actually pull that off.
Now you got 12. Now what are you going to do? But, you know, the other part of it is look, and you know this really, really well, as I do, you can sit there and you can go through steps and you can go through stuff where you guys are blocking on guys and everybody's running around their underwear. But until you get gear on and guys are coming off the ball hard, that's when you find out who's going to be physical enough and is going to be able to stand up to this game. And then when you have a group that now all of a sudden all of them do that, man, I mean, I get a huge smile on my face when I would go out there. I said, "Man, I don't know what you're going to do. You got these guys, and then you know this guy's slated at third team, he's as good as anybody you got out there. You know, I mean, he's not Teron Armstead or Ryan, but he's one step below, and he certainly can play. Well, sure enough, he ends up playing for you know another NFL football team that year, and so it's no surprise, but." Like I said before, you find out so much more when you get gear on.
You know, there's so much, I think, and I asked Teron about this, I think there's so much pressure on both of these lines for the Saints offensively and defensively this season because of the expectations of this team, because of the realities of what they need to do to have a quote-unquote successful season. It's really you win a Super Bowl or you're wildly disappointed. And I know a lot of people would say, well, everybody feels like that at the beginning of the year, but a lot of people feel that way for no reason. This is not a team that is in that situation. There's a lot of people out there that say we're going to win this. Yeah, they think they're going to win the Super Bowl and they have no chance going into a year, but that's not this team's case.
No, I think each and every year for the past, I'd say 7, 8 years, 9 years, you know, the Saints, and it's not just by, you know, guys like you and me. It's the national guys, too. They're saying, hey, you know, this is a team that is always in the hunt because of the personnel that they have. And I think that anybody that knows football, and football people especially, know that the game is won and lost at the line of scrimmage. And how your offensive line goes is how your team goes because if you've got a good, strong offensive line that continues to dominate and really give your offense sort of the engine that it needs, look, we all know how good Drew Brees is. But, you know, and even Drew will tell you, there's not a whole lot he's going to be able to get done when he's got guys draped all over him. You know, so – and unless he's protected and unless they carry out the assignments they're supposed to carry out, nothing's going to happen offensively. It just doesn't, you know, just because you throw some guys out there doesn't mean they're going to be any good. But this team year in and year out, as strong as their offensive line has been, has given them legitimate chance to be at the big dance each and every year. And I think the same is true this year, no question.
As we talk about, you know, the guys up front and their importance, you know, you could do this with the offensive line and say, you know, there are certain keys to those groups playing well. You take, you know, Teron Armstead being healthy is a key to the offensive line performing at a high level. It's the new starter at right guard fitting in quickly and well is a key to this group, you know, being successful as an offensive line. When you look at the defensive line, who's the player for you on that defensive front that really needs to have a great season for that group to be great?
Sheldon Rankins. I think that when he is when he's on full speed and is healthy, he's what we used to call a full load. I mean, he is a guy that that you have to account for because he can wreck the inside. And Zach, as you know, look, I'm not taking anything away from Cam Jordan. I think he's an absolute terrific player and doesn't get enough credit for the things he does and how he plays both the run and the pass so effectively. And I think that Davenport is certainly on his way, you know, to really becoming a good pro. But when I look on the interior part of that defense, and we watched Malcolm Brown come in last year and make so many good plays. And Shai Tuttle, you know, he came in and really sort of surprised everybody and made a lot of really good plays. You know, Onyemata, you know, those guys all are, you know, if you look at interior defensive linemen, and that sort of was sort of my specialty, obviously, because it had to be, that is more sort of where the big war is, you know, because if they can crush that pocket, or they can stuff everything in the middle there, that creates so many problems for the offense. And if your offensive lineman cannot be physical enough to get that done and to get those guys moved off the spot, I'm not talking about just shield them off, but moved off the spot, you know, you're in for a long day. And you could tell when, you look, we had our, you know, we got hit in the nose a couple of times last year, you know, and that last game was painful to watch. And I think it came more from the edges than it did in the interior. But nonetheless, you could see how that changed the football game. And had those things sort of gone in our favor, there would have been a different outcome.
Talking with Saints former offensive lineman Steve Court, also co-host of Fans First Take on Game Day. And, Steve, I want to talk to you about Game Day. The New Orleans Saints announced this week that there's not going to be fans for the first home game. And really, I think that they're going to take a week-by-week look at whether it's feasible based on the infection rate in the area around New Orleans. As a player, how odd do you think it would be, and how well do you think you would adjust to walking into an environment as big as the Superdome and hearing the echoes of guys getting hit through the stadium because there's no crowd noise there to muffle the sound on the field?
You know, I've sat and thought about this for a long, you know, since all this began sort of to materialize into a possible reality. And at this point, I'm like, that's going to be really, really weird. It's going to be, are we in the wrong place? Did we show up? Is this game day? You know, but I think what's going to happen is, like all pros, what's going to happen is it's going to be weird for the first few minutes. And I think like anything else, Zach, there were times that I can remember that the crowd, you know, in New Orleans was so loud and deafening that you could stand right next to me and shout as loud as you could. And I had to kind of read your lips and know what you were talking about for me to get the message. I mean, you know, you could feel that, and you can kind of feel it in your chest. You've been there many years and felt that. And then on the road, I used to feed off the fact that the other, you know, city's team is dog cussing me and just on me. And I'm thinking, oh man, I just love this. I love this being in this environment where I'm coming in and I'm wrecking your team. But it's going to be weird for a while, and then I think what's going to happen is I think you're going to be focused like anything else and realize that there's a lot of times, because I remember playing and I wasn't influenced by the crowd whatsoever, no matter how loud it was, because you're so dialed in as to what you're doing carrying out your assignment and really not wasting any breath on anything, because I certainly was concentrating on the task at hand. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, I don't know what's going to be kind of weird. Are you going to be able to hear, the enemy sideline over there? Are they going to be barking out signals from the sideline and yelling across to their guys, to watch certain this and certain that and things that you normally couldn't hear? I think it's going to be kind of weird. And I think they're going to have to be kind of quiet when they're saying, hey, go to this, go to that, or, you know what I'm saying? And I think that, the whole huddle thing is going to be kind of weird. I think you're going to be sort of quiet in the huddle in kind of a weird way. You understand what I'm saying? You can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to, Drew Brees is used to barking out, hey, at a loud, loud, clear voice, what the, formation is, what the play is and what the count is. And, ready, break. And now he's going to be like, okay, y'all need to kind of get in here close and so much for social distancing. And then, almost read my lips here that, as he begins in his hushed tone to tell us what the play is. So that's only going to be the adjustment I think that's going to happen at that point. I was teasing Steve Geller yesterday that, maybe we ought to hire the Crescent City Jackhammer Band and have them come in and, tell Roger Goodell that there's renovations going on in the dome. And when they're on the offense, we can, the jackhammers could fire up, but I don't know. It's going to be a weird thing for sure.
We had the president of the New Orleans Saints, Dennis Lauscha, on the night that they made that announcement. And he did say that, the discussions have begun as far as piped in crowd noise go. What will be allowed, what won't, but it's not that simple. I think there will certainly be some form of noise that's allowed just to avoid that and to avoid, being able to hear what guys are saying on the field. And, there's certain things that are not great, for the broadcast purpose of
family viewing.
So,
yes, I understand.
There will be something, but like you said, you want the crowd quiet when you're on offense, right? Well, do you turn it off? Because that's pretty quiet, right? Or do you need to leave it on to some extent? And can Drew Brees control that at the line of scrimmage? What if it gets turned on too loud? There's just a lot of questions and a lot of moving parts there that I think would be really interesting. And quite honestly,
Zach,
go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening. I've been watching, I should say, a lot of the Stanley Cup. I'm a big hockey guy. And I'm watching, and they have piped in music. Now, I don't know. Not music, it's piped in, fan noise. And I don't know if it's on TV or if it's actually in the arena. I don't know, but they have it kind of timed up. And I don't know if there's somebody up there kind of at a mixing station or up there that's kind of accentuating the noise at certain times when things happened or what. But I haven't noticed at all that the crowd of not being there. So, I'm not there where we're watching on TV. But at the same time, I don't know if it's going to feel the same way with football. There's certainly a whole lot more fans at football games than there are at hockey games.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's going to be one of the most interesting things is there's a big difference between dressing up a hockey arena or a basketball arena, in the NBA's case, a ballroom at a hotel, in the Superdome, right? It's just a different environment. It's going to be a lot harder.
And it's a huge field feel intimate. Superdome's this giant cavernous thing, and it's gonna be. I mean, there's times we used to go in there. You've been in there in practice before. When there was, when it was bad weather or whatever, and you had to go and practice the dome or whatever. Not now that, Saints have a great thing, but we used to have to go down there all the time and practice in the dome. And it was, you realized how large and cavernous and it was this giant monumental thing, it's just different. And it's going to be really weird if there's not anybody there.
Yes, it is, buddy, and we'll have to wait and see what it looks and feels like. But at the end of the day, as of right now, we've got football, and I think that's probably what all of us want most of all. And so fortunately, we've still got
Steve
Court, former New Orleans Saint, co-host of Fans First Take. Steve, man, thanks so much for the time. Great catching up with you, and we will talk to you soon.
Absolutely, buddy. Have a good one. Melissa sends her love, and tell everybody in the family, hey.
Will do. Thank you, buddy, very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.